You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, Locked On Raptors is the podcast. I'm Vivek Jacob, your host, filling in for Sean Woodley. Again, he's away for the next little while, and so I'll take care of everything that's Raptors related, whether it be Summer League, whether it's off the court with all this Kawhi stuff that's going on right now. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Vivek M. Jacob. You can find all the Locked On Raptors episodes on LockedOnRaptors.com. Check out any of the other 29 NBA teams as well as part of the Locked On Network. And you can even find your favorite podcast about your favorite NFL teams or MLB teams. So be sure to do that. Let's get into it. Last time we left Summer League for the back end of the show, but I want to get it off the top today. Congrats to Nick Nurse on his first win of the summer. Raptors, as you might know, Raptors finished 0-3 during the round robin stage. Didn't really matter since all 30 teams make it to the knockout stage. All it meant was that the Raptors finished with the 29th seed and had to face the 4th seeded Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets started out the game really hot, 13-4 lead early. It was kind of looking the same old for Nick Nurse's team. But from then on, you have to say, from what I saw, the defensive intensity really seemed to pick up. Chris Boucher came into the game, and he deserves a ton of credit. He finished the game with 12 points, 6 rebounds, 6 blocks, made a couple of threes as well. But he was just really active on both ends. So much of the summer league is about getting the process right, doing the little things, making an impression. And coming into this, I thought Boucher may not have offered too much offensively. But it looks like he's just trying to be an active body. Maybe not getting all of the schemes down, but playing with energy, playing with heart. And that's pretty much the best you can do if you don't understand all of the schemes. And, you know, you look at what he's capable of as a player, potentially in the NBA, you know, contesting at the rim. He's pretty mobile, so he's able to run the lane when he gets the opportunity, shoots threes in rhythm, made some nice dives to the rim as well. And listening back to Nick Nurse's comments about him, I thought he made an interesting point that actually reveal some important things about Nurse as a coach. So I'll read the quote. Thank you to Blake Murphy for asking the question that got the quote. So here it is. I'd never seen him in my life until 7 days ago. The funny thing is he's young, right? And he doesn't understand some of the things that we're doing, some of what I just mentioned. So as coach, sometimes as coach, you're thinking, oh, he doesn't really understand what we're doing. But then he gets in the game and decides, I'm just going to play my butt off and run hard and do some things. And that's more important. But it's hard to see that as a coach sometimes. And he also went on a bit further. He said, you know, sometimes as a coach, you fall into stuff by accident that actually works. And he touched on, you know, the Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright combination not really being something they considered till preseason, where they're like, hey, let's just try it out, see what it looks like. And then obviously, we all know what that turned into. Well, one of the best bench units in the league. So, you know, sometimes you need that bit of luck. And, you know, a nice moment for Boucher. He's from Montreal. Nurse said at the end of the game when he got subbed out, he had a real big smile on his face. So that's nice to hear as well. But the thing that appeals to me about Nurse from those comments is that shows a sense of, you know, self-awareness, where he's sort of saying, hey, okay, you know, maybe this guy isn't necessarily doing the things that I want him to do, but he is giving me some of the things that maybe not everyone else is giving. And that's, you know, heart and hustle and just playing his butt off. And, you know, sometimes there has to be a bit of that leeway where you say, hey, okay, maybe he's not doing certain things that you want, but he's giving you other things that no one else is. And you know, maybe in some ways that speaks to why he has such a good relationship with Jonas Valanciunas. And so, yeah, just a little thing. Obviously, you can't read too much into Summer League, but stuff like that can tell you a little bit about a guy's mindset. And so I really liked hearing that from him. And look forward to more of that sort of open mindset going forward. Back to the game. Once the Raptors made that run back, it was fairly even from the first quarter on. Raptors did have some sloppy possessions, which led to unforced turnovers. Malik Beasley probably took most advantage of it for the Nuggets. I think he had something like 5 dunks in this game alone, like pretty much on the fast break, finished with 19 for the game. That's something the Raptors sort of have to cut into, but you expect that with Summer League. Like Nurse said, some of these guys have just spent a week together, so there's going to be that unfamiliarity that sort of carries over onto the court. So get into the fourth quarter, probably the best stretch of basketball, summer basketball, that the Raptors have played. Nuggets led 59-58 at one point, and the Raptors went on a 21-3 run. OG, Giddy Potts, and Chris Boucher had 19 of those 21 points. But more than anything, the defense was so active, super aggressive, and then closing out possessions with the rebounds as well. When they weren't allowing shots to get up, they were creating deflections, getting out in transition. Led to a couple of nice alley-oops, one for OG with the other for Chris Boucher as well. So just a really fun stretch to watch. And then by then, the game was sort of in the bag. The lineup that was on the court at the time, Cody Miller McIntyre was at the point. And then you had Giddy Potts, Raw Alkins, OG at the 4, Chris Boucher at the 5. So a really active sort of mobile lineup. And one of the themes of this summer league has been OG looking better at the power forward spot than he has at small forward at the 3. You can sort of see why with the NBA being the way it is today, you look at his strength to cope with bigger guys at that position, as well as his agility, being able to get out on the break, shoot threes, just being smart with cuts, high IQ guy. You can see why he's able to make that work maybe a little bit better. Another reason I think it helps him is because of his still essentially mediocre game off the bounce. He's got a long way to go as a playmaker. So when he's at the 4, I think it just allows that much more ball handling and playmaking on the court that he doesn't really have to be concerned with it. And so I think that just allows the game to come a bit easier to him. Obviously, you expect those two aspects of his game to improve with time. He's too smart for them not to. It's just that he isn't there yet right now. So it just helps him. Nonetheless, big time game for him. 22 points in 27 minutes, 9 of 17 shooting. And then, you know, solid contributions from Shavon Thompson. Miller McIntyre finished with 11 assists. Giddy Potts and Alfonso McKinney finished with 24 off the bench. So that was huge, too. Giddy Potts' outside shooting has been a real blessing for this team, and obviously helps with the way Nick Nurse wants to play and the way they get up their threes. So the Raptors move on to the next round, where they will play the Charlotte Hornets on Saturday night, and a win there would take them into the quarterfinals against either the Cavs or the Rockets. So you can look forward to that. Some weekend ball action. But besides that, let's move on to the other big Raptors-related story, picking up even more steam this afternoon. That's the possibility of Kawhi Leonard coming to Toronto. So last night's odds had him pretty much just as likely to remain a Spur as he was to become a Raptor. So essentially, outside of being a Spur, if the Spurs were to decide to trade him, he was looking most likely to become a Raptor as per those odds. And now this afternoon, Odds Shark placed him as the Raptors being the most likely team that he will play for next season. Outside of betting trends influencing these numbers, there's basically two main reasons why this has sort of even become a thing in the first place. So Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post, he was the first to throw the idea up in the air, you know, saying that the Raptors have generated some buzz. And he specifically said, with LeBron James out of the Eastern Conference, perhaps Raptors president of basketball operations Masai Ujiri is willing to swing for the fences and move DeMar DeRozan or Kyle Lowry in such a deal. Keyword being perhaps. And then you had Brian Windhorst on Wednesday saying, Brian Windhorst of ESPN, obviously, he went on the record and said that the Raptors are believed by many executives around the league to, and I quote, be fertile to make a big trade. He pointed out the young assets, LeBron being out of the East, and so the Raptors thinking it's wide open. He touched on Philly and Boston not being willing to give up their best young assets, which changes the market, right? Like, the Spurs can ask for whatever they want, but if there's no one else that's even close to meeting it, then there's got to be some type of adjustment. So, you know, if Jaylen Brown, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, if they're not on the table, then the Raptors can enter the conversation. So, again, a lot of ifs. Like, those guys have to be completely out of the conversation for the Raptors to actually step in and make a play. So, the other thing that I thought was really important that he said was that the Spurs aren't committed to trading Kawhi yet. That they may still be more than happy to just ride this thing out and try to salvage the situation, which obviously they have every right to do since he'll be under contract for another season. You know, you think about Tony Parker's comments, the report about Tony Parker's comments being the last straw for Kawhi. Tony Parker's not there anymore. They're not paying Kyle Anderson either, who would have presumably been next in line to fill in for Kawhi's absence, assuming they don't get a small forward in return. So he's gone to Memphis. So, you know, maybe in some ways they are already all in on trying to make the most of this situation and trying to keep Kawhi in San Antonio. Outside of that, this stuff is just my own personal opinion. So, you know, to me, Kawhi's whole deal has been about going to LA, going to the LA market, maximizing his brand, his revenue potential. So why is Toronto an option? The easy counter to that would be that, you know, the Spurs, the relationship's damaged enough where they don't care about what Kawhi wants at this point, and they just want to get maximum return. And if you're Kawhi, who cares? You can leave in a year anyway. But if on that level, like if Masai is just gonna swing for the fences for a 1 year deal, where you know you look at the Warriors, barring multiple injuries, they're a lock to win the title anyway. And then even if you get Kawhi, there's no guarantee that you're beating Philly or Boston or you know maybe Milwaukee moves up the ranks. So there's still a lot to accomplish there. So it's a big swing if Masai does go for it. And then on top of that, you know, as critical as you can be about the Spurs for this entire fiasco in the first place, that front office is still one of the best in the league, in my opinion. If they want to maximize their return for Kawhi, they need to at least put out the image that there are as many buyers in play as possible. And if Toronto can be one of those teams, then by all means, they're more than happy to have more players in the market to sort of, you know, maybe beef up the trade potential. Last little point I want to make is how much of an impact speculation can have on these betting odds. You think about LeBron, the way the odds shifted towards him joining the Lakers, just by him landing in LA. And then all of a sudden he took a meeting with the Sixers, and even though he didn't attend the meeting, and the fact that the meeting was in LA, the odds actually shifted towards Philly briefly. So that's how quickly and easily these things can change. So just be mindful of those things as we move forward. Obviously, it's super exciting news. And so, you know, now that I've tried to sober this down as much as possible, Let's look at the other side of the fence. Yeah, the Raptors have a chance, based on everything that's being said, to acquire someone who would presumably be the best player in franchise history. Even if it is for one season, you're looking at a guy who can dictate terms on both ends of the floor. He's a great three-point shooter, has developed a pretty great one-on-one game. And the thing that puts all of those things together is the fact that he plays the most important position in today's league. If you're going to compete or hope to hang in a game of consequence against the likes of the LeBron James of the league, the Kevin Durant, you need a Kawhi Leonard. This would unequivocally be the biggest move in franchise history. Obviously, there'd be some key members of the team who would have to be sacrificed. I'd rather not get into that just because of how much of this is based on speculation right now. It's a really fun dream to dream, especially if the Raptors don't have to give up too much, especially if everything that's being said about, you know, other teams not being able to give up much, and which is allowing the Raptors to be in play. It would be crazy. Kawhi Leonard to the Raptors, the same offseason that John Tavares goes to the Leafs. And it will be a crazy, crazy time in this city. So if it can happen, that would be amazing. Obviously, I think every one of us will be paying a lot of attention to Woj and Shams on the tweets the next few days, and we'll see where the odds go from there as well. The fact that the Raptors front office is so quiet as well, that probably leads to more anxiety and more speculation that this thing might be real. But all we can do right now is speculate, because there isn't much beyond that. It's Thursday afternoon as of this recording. I will most likely be back on Monday. I know the Raptors play Saturday night, but I work till midnight and probably won't record a pod after that. And then Sunday, you've got the Wimbledon final, the World Cup final Sunday. And yeah, I work again after that. So Monday is probably the next time I'll chime in. World Cup final, I'm just going to make a quick, on that. I think I'd like to see Croatia win, just because it's always cool to see a first-time winner. But I'd probably have to say my money's on France. They've looked so good all tournament, and now you look at Croatia, having played 360 minutes in the knockout stages. You'd think at some point that's going to take its toll. Till Monday, thanks for listening in. Don't forget to rate and review on iTunes. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at Vivek M. Jacob. Till then, take care.